Okay, today, Bezos, we're going to continue in the fifth parak of Maseches Trumos, and we are up to Parak Hey Mishnah Vav. So again, these Mishnahs continue to talk about cases where Truma and Chulin get mixed in with each other, and where you need a 100-to-1 ratio. And if you have the 100-to-1 ratio, then all you need to do is pull out that one sa'ah that fell in and give that to a Kohen, just so that you're not mafsid the Mamana Kohen. And if you don't have that 100-to-1 ratio, then it's the whole thing is Meduma, and the whole thing has to be treated like Truma. So now Mishnah Vav is going to talk about the following case, that a sa'ah of Truma fell into less than 100 sa'ah of Chulin, and therefore the whole thing is Meduma, and then some of that Meduma fell into more Chulin. How much Chulin do you need to be Mevatel that Meduma? So sa'ah Truma shnafa l'pachus mimea v'nidamu. You have a sa'ah of Truma that falls into, let's say, 50 si'in of Chulin, so the whole thing becomes Meduma. You now have 51 si'in of Meduma. V'nafal mina Meduma l'makom acher. And now some of that mixture goes and falls into some other place, other more chulin. So machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Elazar Omer midamas kitruma vaday. The whole dimua is treated like truma vaday. That the whole thing is considered like truma. This makes sense to a certain degree. The achronim explain, because if you think about Rabbi Elazar's shita, his shita always was that the sa'ah shenafla he asa'ah is the same sa'ah that you pull out. That when you have a case where it fell into where you did have the 100-to-1 ratio, he's the one that said that when you pull out that saw, you have every right to assume that that saw that you're pulling out is the very saw that fell in. So even when it became batel and you pull out some portion of it, you assume that whatever you pulled out is entirely truma. So certainly when it doesn't become batel and you pull out some portion of it, of course you're going to assume that that portion that you pull out is entirely truma. So that's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The chamom that the meduma is only going to be medameya, it's only going to cause problems based on the percentage of it that is likely truma. Meaning we assume that when one sa of truma, let's say, fell into, maybe take an easier number, fell into 49 si'in of chulin, so now we know that exactly 2% of this mixture is truma. So if some of that mixture falls into another a vat of chulin, you only need to be mevat 2% of what fell in. So you need a 100-to-1 ratio of 2% of what fell in, not a 100-to-1 ratio of everything that fell in, because we go based on the percentage of what is actually truma. And you have a similar discussion with regard to two other areas of halacha that the Mishnah is going to identify. Number one is as far as truma, it's still in the area of truma. The first one is still in the area of truma, but it's about chimutz. The halacha is that when something is mechametz, if you have a sourdough that's mechametz dough, so the halacha is that it does not become batel, because the din of bittel, the concept of bittel, is that something becomes unrecognizable, it loses all of its characteristics, because it just becomes completely unrecognizable and unimpactful in the mixture. But if you have a very tiny thing that has an oversized impact on something, then it's not going to become batel. So the way sourdough works is that a very tiny amount of sourdough will cause the entire dough to rise, even if you have a 100-to-1 ratio of the dough to the sourdough. So that sourdough does not become batel. So if you take a sourdough of truma, and you take just a little bit of sourdough of truma, and you put it into a big dough in order to cause the whole dough to rise, the whole thing's going to be usher, because that entire dough was impacted by the truma. So the Mishnah tells us, let's say you have a sourdough of truma that went into a dough, so it impacted the entirety of the dough, and then you then use some of that dough to be sourdough for something else, to cause another dough to rise. So how much of is that a problem of truma? Meaning, say, a truma sourdough that impacted a chulin dough, so now the whole thing is treated like truma, then you have a piece of that dough that's used as sourdough for something else. So the Chacham say that it's also only the fi chashbon, that you figure that if, let's say, only, the Bartzner gives an example, 1/200th of the original dough was actually the truma sourdough. Now, it didn't become batel because it had an impact, but still, only 1/200 of the original dough was sourdough. And now part of that dough is used as sourdough for something else. You only need to cheshbon if the 1/200th of what I'm using now would be enough to impact and cause this new dough to rise. If it would not have been enough to even make that impact, then it's going to be batel. And then a third area where this halacha comes up, and that is in Hilchos Mikvaos. The halach is that a mikvah needs mem sa'ah of regular collected rainwater in a that's never been in a kli of any sort, because if it was in a kli, then it would be mayim she'uvim, but there are ways that you could use mayim she'uvim as part of the mikvah. So one such way is eina mayim she'uvim posmas a mikvah, el l'fi cheshbon, the mayim she'uvim is only going to pass a mikvah based on the cheshbon of how much mayim she'uvim the mikvah has. Meaning, if the mikvah has a majority of regular rainwater that was never in a kli, let's say 21 sa of water, so the 40 sa could be finished with mayim she'uvin. But only if it's the 40 sa can be completed with mayim she'uvin, but only if it's poured on the ground and it flows into the mikvah. If a mikvah has 21 sa of water that was never in any sort of kli, so it's more than half of the mikvah, the rest of the water is allowed to be mayim she'uvin, but that mayim she'uvin, you can't just pour it from buckets into the mikvah. It has to be poured on the ground and allowed to flow a little bit into the mikvah. But if the mikvah had only 20 sa'ah of regular rainwater, and then another 20 sa'ah of mayim she'uvim is going to be poured on the ground to flow into the mikvah is going to be pasul. So over here, the fi cheshbon is actually not, has nothing to do with the first two cases, meaning in the first two cases, it was based on tarovos and a subsequent tarovos after original tarovos, and how do we view the subsequent tarovos. Over here, the only reason we're quoting this is we're just using the word l'fi cheshbon, so just it's just a terminology, but it's not really a logical connection between them. It has no practical connection between them. Now, Mishnah Zayin. So we said a sa'a truma falls into 100 sa'a of chulin, then you have to take out one sa'a and give that to the kohen, and the rest of it is perfectly fine. So what if that keeps going on? Sa'a truma shnafel l'meya higbiya. So you take out one sa'a, the original sa'a became batel, and so you take out one sa'a to reimburse the kohen, and then v'naflacheres, then another sa'a of truma fell into that very same box. Higbiya, so you take it out in order to reimburse the kohen, then v'naflacheres, another sa'a fell into that very same box. Do you keep saying that it's batel? So Tanakama says, harezu muteres ad shetir ba truma ala chulin, that it remains mutter, and there is no one that argues on Tanakama in this Mishnah, that the whole thing remains mutter until you get to the point where if you're doing the math, there's probably more truma in there than there is tahor in there, because you have to realize that the whole idea that you have that you need 100 to be mevatel is a din midrabanan, and a daraisa is batel berov. So once you get past that point where it's rov, and now you know that the rov of it is truma, so then you don't even have bittel on a daraisa level to rely on, and that's where you run into trouble. So that's where it's not going to work anymore. When the 51st sa of truma falls in, the 50 sa have probably been taken out of the taroves. One sa of truma fell in, and then we're concerned that maybe each sa that was taken out was fully chulin. So we now have 50 sa of chulin and 51 sa of truma. So that once you get to that point where you have to be concerned about that, then it's not going to. Then it's not going to be mutter for anyone but a kohen to eat that tarovis. So let's quickly review what we did today. So in the first mishnah we discussed, if a sa of truma fell into less than 100 and it created dimua, and then that meduma fell into another mixture. So machlokas Reb Elazar and the Chum, where Reb Elazar says that the whole dimua has a din, the whole meduma has a din of truma, has a din of 100% truma. Whereas the Chum said, no, you view it percentage wise. Similarly, when it comes to a sourdough, the Chum say you view it percentage-wise. If a truma sourdough impacted a dough, and then that dough impacts another dough, you only view it percentage-wise if the percentage of it that is in fact truma would be enough to impact that second dough, then the whole thing would be truma, but otherwise it would not. And then once we're mentioning this concept, this phrase of l'fi cheshbon, we mentioned that if you have mayim she'uvim, that is the minority of the mikvah, it's going to be kosher, but if it becomes half of the mikvah or more, then it's going to be pasul. And then in Mishnah Zayin, we said that if a sa'a of truma fell into 100 se'in, and you therefore pulled it out, but then another sa'a fell in, and then you pulled that out. So only when it gets to the point where you might have more truma than chulin, only then are you going to have a problem. Okay, Bezrashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Perkei Mishnah Ches.